Love is but a song we sing. Fear's the way we die. You can make the mountains ring. The dove is on the wing, and you may not know why. Come on, people, now smile on your brother. Everybody get together, try to love one another right now. Some will come and some will. This shall surely pass. When the one who left us here returns for us at last. 'Cause we are but a moment's sunlight fading. If you hear the song I'm singing, you must understand that you hold the key to love and fear. It's right there in your trembling hand. One key unlocks them both.
Good morning and welcome. Thank you for choosing to be here on Super Bowl Sunday.
Thanks, and please be seated. It's always good to have Jennifer here, is it not? And also, always wonderful to have you here. Thank you very much. Today is on a well-deserved day off. Unity is that positive path for spiritual living, and we do offer practical teachings that help us to live meaningful, healthy, and prosperous lives. We're also an open and welcoming, inclusive community. Therefore, one of our favorite things to do here each and every Sunday morning is to acknowledge our first-time guest. So today we want to acknowledge you. Also, if you're streaming with us for the first time today, we certainly want to acknowledge you as well. So today, if you're with us for the first time, or perhaps you've not been with us for some time, we invite you, if you would, just to take your courage in your hand, calling all courage, take your courage in your hand, raise your hand as I raise my hand. First time guest out here. Courage galore. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up, please. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. This is where I say we're going to do nothing drastic here. So just keep your hands up. That purple packet that you're receiving tells you a lot about Unity Minneapolis. It has a welcoming CD in there as well. There's a pink card in that packet. If you choose to fill that out and turn that into our book desk, then we have a special gift for you. The rose is a gift from our congregation so that we can easily spot you, recognize you, and give you a very personal welcome. All of that's important, and yet one of the most important things that's said on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this. And that is, my dear friends, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you're welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold the living presence of the divine within you. Thank you for allowing us to honor your presence here today. This is also the first Sunday of the month, therefore we honor birthdays and anniversaries for the month of February. If you have a birthday or anniversary, we invite you to stand and remain standing, please. Wow, pop up there, pop up there, pop up there. Lovely, lovely. So Charles Fillmore, co-founder of our movement, says that we have 12 powers, and these 12 powers are within us, and they're ours to use. And he has assigned a power to each month of the year. For the month of February, he has assigned the power of strength. The color for the month of February is spring green. That's in our vision anyway, spring green. And strength is your ability to endure. It's your ability to stay the course. And the affirmation is, I have the strength to accomplish all that is mine to do. I have the strength to accomplish all that is mine to do. Let's affirm that together. I have the strength to accomplish all that is mine to do. Thank you, and be seated. Sometimes it's that discernment on what's mine to do and what's mine not to do, and I'm getting better with that. That's when we work that strength with that power of wisdom. Our powers are worked together. So we always enjoy greeting each other. We do that with a handshake, a hug, a smile, namaste. We ask before we hug. Let's do that right now, okay? So if you did not get a chance to speak with a person you wanted to speak with, we invite you to join us for coffee and tea following today's service. Our next song, we invite you to remain seated, please, as we sing together, Namaste. Thank you.
Together one more time.
Now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word and the singing of the Lord's Prayer. As the usher brings down the prayer box, you are invited to mentally add your prayers to the box. Your prayers are then prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days. Then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is forgive. We affirm, I forgive and begin anew. An artist can seamlessly craft an erroneous brushstroke into a new and beautiful part of a painting. The canvas is forgiving, thus turning an apparent mistake into a fresh aspect. With forgiveness, I can turn seeming failures into opportunities to grow. To transform a painful event into a new and positive experience, I let go of attachment to what happened or what should have been. By releasing past hurts, I open myself to beautiful opportunities. When I forgive, I give way for the new to emerge in the canvas of my life. I can paint new experiences. I feel energized and embrace unlimited possibilities. As I forgive and move forward, I create my life as I want it to be. And Scripture says in Ephesians, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. The word for today is forgive.
Thank you.
And as we move even deeper into a time of meditation, I invite you, if you're comfortable, to close your eyes. To close your eyes to the outer world and open your eyes to the inner world. To truly turn within and relax. To let the chair that you are sitting in support you as you surrender to an awareness of the flow of spirit moving through you right now. Take a few deep breaths and go to that quiet place. And each time you exhale, feel your body relaxing even deeper. Let go and feel only the presence of God within you. If you find yourself becoming distracted by a noise, by a thought, gently bring your awareness back to the presence. To the presence and power of God. Breathe it in. Breathe it out. And allow this cycle of breath to move you even deeper. Opening your heart, your mind, to the peace of God that passes all understanding. Open to the joy of the Christ presence. And in this place of peace, I invite you to allow these words to be your words. I am a child of God, enfolded in perfect love and peace. I am created in the image and likeness of God. I release any thought or feeling that does not support the truth of my divine nature. As I inhale, I draw from an infinite wellspring of peace. And I take this into my innermost being, a growing awareness of the peace of God within and around me. I feel loved and secure. I release any negative or unforgiving thought. I am one with God's presence of peace. I welcome new understanding and compassion for myself, for the people in my life. I meet any circumstance with courage, with strength. As I pause to contemplate the peace of God in the silence of prayer, in the silence. Thank you. Thank you, God, for the gift of peace. for the gift of community. For as we bring our awareness back to this space, to this gathering of individuals, our hearts are overflowing with love. And we send this love forward to do God's work wherever it is needed. And with this attitude of gratitude, we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Amen.
Thank you, Rachel, to remind us of our oneness our oneness with each other and our oneness with all of humankind. You know, I like that part, you know, we are peace. And then that second part that says, we are war. That's not one of my favorite lines, you know, in the whole wide world. And yet at the same time, that's exactly what we are. We have all of it within us. We have all of it within us. We have the potential to even express it. I don't know about you, but right now as I look at some of the images on in our world, some of the images that I see on streaming and television, they're pretty cruel, are they not? And yet at the same time, my dear friends, we are one with all that is. We are one with all that is. It's easy to know our oneness when we see behavior from people that we approve of, is it not? And it's quite challenging to know our oneness when we see behavior of those that we do not approve of. And yet the only way that I know how to know my oneness with those that I don't appreciate is the song we just sang a few minutes ago. The Christ within me, or the divine within me, beholds the divine within you. Even knowing that is somewhat challenging, is it not? And you know, it's challenging. And yet I believe that we as truth students, we as metaphysicians, we on this path of enlightenment, this is what we're called to do. We're called to know our oneness with each other, as challenging as it may be. We are called to do that. I am one with you, and you are one with me. One of my favorite lines, and you've heard me say it about a million times if you've been here more than once, is, am I my brother's keeper? No, I am my brother. I am my sister. Just as the ocean is part of a drop of water is part of the ocean, we too are a drop of all of humanity. That's what we are. And why we know our oneness, my dear friends, is because of that individuality that was referred to last week that connects us all. It's not our personality. Thank you, Father, Mother, God. It's not our personality. It's not even our behavior. But it's that invisible presence that indwells within you and then indwells within each and every person that we encounter, my dear friends. That is why we are one, and that is why we teach oneness, and that is why it is challenging as heck to live it sometimes. You get it? Yeah, I get it. That was not the lesson this morning, but perhaps it was, okay, needless to say. You know, a few weeks ago, I saw the movie Selma. And I got to tell you, that was like the first part of January when I saw that movie. And I walked out of that theater with so many mixed emotions. There was tears in my eyes. I was experiencing guilt. I was experiencing shame. I was experiencing sadness on how humanity could do that to other human beings. And you see, I'm from Alabama. Selma, Alabama. I lived less than 75 miles from Selma, Alabama. I was in the 10th grade when this was happening. I might as well not have been 75 miles from Selma, Alabama. In my world, I was probably 7 million miles from Selma, Alabama. For you see, at that point, I, as you very well know, I was not dealing with the color of my skin. I was dealing with something that was more invisible. I was keeping a dark secret. I was keeping that secret and better keep it to myself at that point in Alabama. I was hiding and keeping to myself my own sexuality, my own homosexuality. I did not want it out there. And so as I walked out of that theater, I tried to justify it. I tried to justify, wow, you know, I didn't know about it. I was dealing with my own stuff. I did the best I could. And of course, I believe that we all do the best we can where we are at that place in consciousness. Do you believe that? Yes, because if it was any different, we would have done it differently. And yet I knew there was forgiveness work for me to do, and I didn't know what it was. And if you ever said to yourself, God, show me what to do, not having a clue on what that is. And so as I came out of that theater and I was talking to Eddie, my spouse, and I was saying, gosh, this was just amazing. It was the first time he had seen this. And so as I was talking to him, I was feeling guilty and I didn't know what to do. I felt like maybe I was just taking on the weight of the world. And so I knew that last Sunday was my Sunday to preach. I thought it was my Sunday to preach. I'd arranged with Lori the music, and we had talked about the soloist, and so at the last moment at 6 o'clock on Saturday night, every associate minister in the whole wide world dreads this phone call. You know, I can't do it, Reverend Patty, can you do it? She stepped up and did a beautiful job, did she not? Thank you very much. But I knew that Spirit would reveal to me what was mine to do. So I was at home in Alabama, Birmingham. Birmingham's a wonderful city. It has its challenges, like most metropolitan areas, it has its challenges. And so I was there, and it was Monday, Martin Luther King Day. And I said to my sister about noon, I said, I'm going to Selma. And she looked at me and she said, Selma? Oprah was there yesterday. I said, well, Reverend Pat will be there today. So I drove 70 miles from Birmingham to Selma, Alabama. As I parked my car, I stepped on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And every step that I took across that bridge was a prayer. God, if there's anything to forgive, help me to forgive myself. And as I witnessed other people walking on that bridge that day, there was things that began to shed. There was a lightness that came about me. And I knew that my healing process had begun. I saw generations of people walking that bridge. 4 generations and 1 family that I stopped and spoke to. Because they said, we must not forget. We must not forget. As I saw each generation teaching another generation. So I walked back and forth on that bridge. And as I did, I heard that movie in my background that I had just seen. I heard the billy clubs. I heard the cries. I heard the screams. And yet I knew it was something that I had to do. As I got back in my car, well, it was not my car, it was a rental car, but I got back in the car. I don't think I would buy that model. But anyway, so as I got back in the car, I knew that I was not complete. And I drove Highway 80 from Selma to Montgomery. And along the way, I stopped and I read the different markers that was present. I drove to the Capitol steps, exactly where Dr. King and them had ended up. What a healing process for me. And as I looked around the state of Alabama, especially in the rural areas, I thought to myself, yes, progress has been made. Progress has been made. But it's not complete. And it's not enough. No. And because we sit here in Minnesota, in the northern states, does not mean that we don't have our work to do as well. So I know and I give thanks for the work of Dr. King. I give thanks for those people that stood out on Bloody Sunday that made that movement continue to happen. And yet there is still work for us to do. And I'm not saying there's work for us to do collectively. Perhaps that may be the case. Our teaching is a lot about the individual transformation of consciousness. Each and every person has that opportunity to transform their life, to transform their consciousness by these teachings that we teach. We teach these teachings and we can apply these teachings to our life, and our life can change. And then each of us, through that infinite wisdom within us, each and every one of us, will be guided on what to do next. For me, it was to walk across that bridge. For you, it may be something else. It may be to hold it in prayer. It may be to attend a class. It may be to see the movie. It may be to stand in a demonstration. But each and every one of you individually are called to do what you are called to do. We are not through yet. We are not through. There's a lot for us to do. That's not the lesson today, but maybe it is, okay? Maybe that's the lesson. You know, it's amazing how I stand up here and I go, okay, God, show me what I'm going to talk about today, and I prepare and I just toss it to the wind. Do you know what I mean? But I want to also share. I feel like I'm back on the horse. Do you know where I'm coming from? Those in the South would know exactly what we're talking about. Get back on the horse, Pat. Well, I feel like I'm back on the horse, and not that you're horses or anything, but you know, it's like, whoa, step over here. And needless to say, I think I cannot remember being off the platform for 3 Sundays in a row, with the exception of my sabbatical. And I was gone. It's just so good to be back. It really is wonderful to be back. Wonderful, wonderful to be back. As Reverend Patty said in our introduction today, we are talking about volunteers this month. Hey, are you a volunteer here?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you are. Wow, look around the room. Look around the room. Wow, 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 wow. Now, do you volunteer anywhere? Raise your hand. Just not here, but anywhere. Look around the room. This is awesome. Awesome. And rightfully so. You're from Minneapolis-St. Paul area. Did you know the Minneapolis-St. Paul area is the number one area in the country for volunteerism? Did you know that? Whoa! 27% of Americans volunteer, where 22% of Europeans volunteer, but guess what? Here we volunteer 38% right here in Minneapolis. And I think many of you are doing it right here. Yesterday, Reverend Patty had a promoted and had a wonderful volunteer appreciation. I've got the numbers. We have over 250 volunteers in our community. And also yesterday we had about 150 of those to show up for a celebration. So I want to truly appreciate all of our volunteers today. Let's appreciate them, okay? There's a lot to be said about service, and Emily Cady, one of our great New Thought teachers, has said it so well. She says, many today are conscious that inner hunger cannot be satisfied with worldly goods. I think we come to that, don't you? We think that that's going to satisfy us, but then when we get what we get, there's always something within us that wants what? More! Satisfied with worldly goods and are all earnestly seeking spiritual understanding or consciousness. They have been seeking long with a great desire of unselfishness and a feeling that when they have truly found God, they will begin to do for others. You know, when I find God, then I'm going to step out there and I'm going to do some work. I don't know about you, when I grew up, it's like, oh, I don't need this God stuff right now. But right before I die, I'm going to receive God as my Savior and all that, and I'm going to heaven. Do you know what I mean? So we sometimes wait. We wait till we think we're going to find God. Goes on to say, they will, when they are seeking long with a great desire of unselfishness and a feeling that when they truly found God, they will begin to do for others. Faithful service for others hastens the day drawing for us. The gifts of God are not given in reward for faithful service, as a fond mother gives cakes to her child for being good. Nevertheless, they are a reward. Inasmuch as service is one of the steps that leads to the place where all the fullness of God awaits man. And while spiritual understanding is a reality, a gift from God, it comes to us more or less quickly in proportion as we use the light that we have. We don't have to wait until we find God. We don't have to wait till we do that. We take the light that we have and we begin to step into service. We become the hands and the feet and the voice of God. That's how it works. You know, I remember going into a 12-step program and I knew that that person that had 3 days of sobriety, 1 day of sobriety, they had more than I had it right then, and they could help me. You too are on a spiritual path, and you can help someone else on their spiritual path as well. Dr. Katie also says, unless you use for the service of others what God has already given to you, you will find it a long, weary road to spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding comes through service. Comes through service. We are all spiritual beings. We are having this human experience, and we are all the hands and the feet of spirit. Think about that. You and some days will be the only Christ someone will see. You will be the only divine that someone will see. We are made in the image and the likeness of God. You get that? Genesis clearly tells us we're made in the image and the likeness of God. We are made in that image, and therefore we have all the attributes of God. That's right. You have in potential, regardless of whether they're being expressed or not, all of the attributes of God. Just as that drop of water has all of the attributes of the ocean, you too have those attributes waiting to be expressed. And they're expressed, my dear friends, through your personality. Your personality. Those gifts have been matched to your personality and how you are going to express those gifts. We have these spiritual gifts, but sometimes we forget that we have these spiritual gifts, do we not? We forget. We forget that we're unique, unrepeatable expressions of spirit. We forget that because perhaps growing up has been knocked out of us. It's been knocked, can't you do anything right? That's wrong. Teachers, parents, clergy, all of that. Shame, disgrace. And we come away thinking, do I have any spiritual gifts? Of course, then, has anyone ever been downsized before? And you come away going, why me? Why me? What about my gifts? Are they not good enough? Or what about, have you ever been fired before? I won't ask for a show of hands, but more than likely many of us have. What about, I'm not worthy enough? My gifts are not good enough? So obviously, because of this human experience out here, this human experience, sometimes it's very easy for us to find that and forget that we are unrepeatable expressions of spirit with our unique gifts, your unique gifts. And sometimes we find that we don't share our spiritual gifts because we think that our spiritual gifts are insignificant. We find that, wow, is my gifts impressive, especially when we stand and we see people, you know, that sing like some of our music department sings, or we see people that pray or to heal, we say, wow, how's my gift significant, especially in this community? Paul says it so well in 1 Corinthians. He writes, now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it's the source of them all. There are different kinds of There are different kinds of service in the church, but it's the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it's the same God who does the work through all of us. God manifests the Spirit through each person for the good of the entire church. To one person, the Spirit gives a word of special wisdom. To another, he gives the gift of special knowledge. The Spirit gives special faith to another, and to someone else, he gives the power to heal the sick. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and to another, the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to distinguish between the gifts. And still another person is given the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues. And another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the same and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. All gifts are equal. Equal. Isn't that wonderful? Someone says, well, all I do is pray and prepare a meal for the sick. What greater gift than praying and preparing a meal for the sick? Everyone has been given these gifts that will express through our personality. Some of us think, well, we are just missing the gift. We're missing a gift. You know, I see someone up front, I want to be just like them, or I want to. And they keep focusing on that someone else has, as opposed to discovering what their own unique gift is. You may be like Dorothy and some of her friends, you know? They're lacking a brain or heart or lacking nerve. None of that. You have it within you. Some wonder why they are drawn to a certain area in their life. An area, but yet they don't seem to fit in. Well, yes, I know I want to work with children. But when I go into the classroom and to work with children, it's just awful. Just awful. But I know I'm drawn to children. What is mine to do? And all of a sudden you discover what's yours to do is administration for the children's area. You see, you're in the right church, just not the right pew. And I look around this morning and some of you are in the wrong pews this morning, okay? You're in the wrong pews this morning. You're in the right church, but you're in the wrong pew. Jesus obviously is one of our examples and our way showers. He's just wonderful about how he gave service. And one of my favorite examples of service is how Jesus was in that upper room. It's called the upper room teachings. And remember when Jesus said, he took that towel and he started washing the feet of the disciples. And what did Peter say? No, Jesus. You're not going to wash my feet. Jesus, you're going to wash my feet? And Jesus said to Peter, unless you allow me to wash your feet, then you do not belong to me. And Peter jumped up and said, well, wash everything, because I want to belong to you. I think this is a great example, my dear friends, of being into service, of also receiving. My dear friends, guess what? We love to give, do we not? Does it make you feel good? Of course it does. At least three of you. It makes you feel great, you know? It's great. But what about receiving? We also have to be a good receiver, regardless of whether you were taught it's more blessed to give than to receive. Regardless. Giving and receiving is on the same coin. It's just a different side. But what activates this spiritual law of circulation, this spiritual law of giving and receiving, is the act of giving. So, my dear friends, when we give, watch out what happens. It's spiritual law. It comes right back to you. And when it comes back to you, then open your heart, open your mind to receive, because you know how it feels in order to give. I love the fact that we here at Unity Minneapolis, I like to call us a mistake-free zone. You sign up to do something here, you get in it, and you go, I'm in the wrong pew. This is not for me. Don't just disappear. Don't disappear. That's why we have a wonderful director of sacred service, a volunteer coordinator. Go to Reverend Patty and say, I'm in the wrong pew. Put me in the right pew. let me try something else. So some of you may be saying, well, you know, Reverend Pat, you know, we're made in the image and the likeness of God, and that's just an allegory in Genesis, and don't buy it. Or some of you may be saying, Paul, the Apostle Paul, never liked him anyway. You know, his idea about women was just not the coolest thing in the whole wide world. So you may be saying, I'm not going to listen to Paul either. Volunteering is a very practical thing to do. The United Healthcare Group, I believe they're, are they located right here in Minneapolis? They did a study, a recent study, in 2013. Doing Good for You, a 2013 health and volunteering study, revealed that 76% of 78% report that volunteer low, 78% of U.S. adults who volunteer report that volunteering has made them feel physically healthier, and 78% reported that volunteering lowers their level of stress, leading to feeling better than adults who do not volunteer. The study also illustrates that employers benefit from employees who volunteer in terms of better employee health and professional skills, development of employees used in the workplace. The study reveals four key benefits of volunteering that makes a positive impact on a person's health. You want good health? Yeah, we teach it here, right? Volunteer. Health. Volunteers say that they feel better physically, mentally, emotionally. Stress. Volunteers help people manage and lower their stress level. Purpose. Volunteers feel a deeper connection to communities and to others. Engagement. Volunteers are more informed healthcare consumers and more engaged and involved in managing their health. Another study in Psychology Today says that it literally, let me see, I want to use the exact words, I want to give that right for you, or I'll get emails. And so it says, evidence of volunteerism physically affects can be found in a recent study from Carnegie Mellon University published in this month's Psychology and Aging. Adults over 50, no one in here, adults age over 50 who volunteered on a regular basis were less likely to develop high blood pressure than non-volunteers. High blood pressure is an important indicator of health because it contributes to heart disease, stroke, and premature death. And I know what some of you are saying out there. Well, how much do I have to do in order to get that? I know what I deal with here. How much do I have to do? And it tells us, it says, how much time? 200 hours of volunteering per year correlated to lower blood pressure. So regardless of the spiritual aspect that I presented today, volunteerism helps us. It helps our health. Helps us to be happy campers, healthy campers. So, if you have not doing any volunteer work, don't do this for Reverend Pat, but do it for yourself. And prayerfully consider using your time, your talent, your treasure right here at Unity Minneapolis. How you doing out there? I just love that Minneapolis-St. Paul is the number one city in the United States in volunteerism. And so it is. Amen.
Message wherever you stand, I'm calling every woman, I'm calling every man, because we're the generation, we can't afford to wait. The future started yesterday and we're already late. We've been looking for a song to sing, searched for a melody, searched for someone to lead. We were looking for the world to change. If you feel the same, then go on and say, if you're out there, sing along with me. If you're out there, I'm dying. and say it loud if you're out there. Tomorrow's starting broken promises, no more call to war, unless it's love and peace that we're really fighting for. 'Cause we can destroy hunger, we can conquer hate, just put down the arms and raise your voice, we can start today. Oh, I was looking for a song to sing, I searched for a leader, the leader was me. Yes, I was looking for the world to change. We can be heroes. Just go on and say, if you're out there, sing along with me. If you're out there, I'm dying to believe that you're out there. Stand up and say it loud.
Yesterday, but it's never too late.
Invite our ushers to come forth as we prepare to receive our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and if you're giving it with someone, we invite you to hold it together, bless it together. For you truly have the power to bless. I'll affirm our church offertory blessing once, then I will ask you to affirm it with me and then silently. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now silently. Thank you, God. Amen.
Thank you.
As our ushers come forth, we invite those that are streaming with us today to also make a gift to Unity Minneapolis. There's a donate button right there on your screen. So let's take a moment and just breathe in and let go. We are truly grateful. Grateful for the opportunity to practice the spiritual law of circulation. Grateful to send these gifts forth. Fulfill our vision and mission, and we say thank you, God, and so it is. Amen. If you want to learn more about spiritual gifts, this afternoon at 1:30, Reverend Patty will be doing a workshop, and then next week, I'm really excited about having Greg Lavoie back. He's been just dynamic here for our community. If you've not experienced him, as Reverend Patty said earlier, I think it's something you want to put on your calendar. He's a wonderful author, great speaker, great workshop presenter as well. I hear children out there. Let's bring them in. Let's stand up and bring them in.
Emerging Spirits are our preschool through fifth grade classes, and they've been studying the children on the quest. Today we were talking about, which they're so good at, living in the now, and how we can be in the moment and trust God within us, that we have everything we need for where we're headed. The object lesson we had was we had a seed and we planted it in a pot and then gave it a little time to grow and said, well, that doesn't seem to be working. So we pulled it out and put it in a different pot, and pulled it out and put it in a different pot. And do we think we'll ever get to the blooming? It takes some patience, and again, trusting that everything's there that we need. Living in the now.
I think that's a good lesson for us, don't you? I can pull a lot of things out of pots and replant them quickly, needless to say. So let us know together our prayer for protection and our peace song. But before we do that, I want to thank these adult volunteers. They're fabulous. Let us know together our prayer for protection and our peace song. Together we know that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, and the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, and all is well.
Parker on the piano. Ain't no mountain.